We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Hey, how about all this moisture just sitting around not being used up right now? I got 3,400s last night and 1.9 inches Friday. Moisture this morning, that little bit of rain, 3/10, 4/10, whatever it was, it's standing around like it rained 2 inches around here. So anyway, the moisture in the ground is finally catching up and we got it going on. But now onward with what's getting ready to happen. You see there's some calm out there right now. Well, it's going to go away here this afternoon. Already in the panhandle, temperatures have dropped down in the lower 20s around Boy City's 24, I guess, and 44 at Slap Out, so it's working this way here. The winds are going to be crazy out of the north tonight, gust up to 60 miles an hour. So get ready. Winter is going to show up with a big bang. 50 degrees right now at Hollis, 47 at Cheyenne, 42 at Woodward, 42 at Cherokee, 49 at Fort Cobb, out here in the Texas Panhandle. Let's see what's happening there. Yeah, up there by Stratford, it's already 26 degrees and 46 at Miami, 48 at Dozer, 50 at Wellington, and 50 at Odell. But if you could just see this screen I'm looking at from basically Lubbock all the way to Amarillo up towards Palador Reservoir, it's already dropped down in the 30s and 20. So it's coming, everybody. Get ready for it. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour all day. I'll have something about them coming up at the end of this segment. Greg Hartman with the OSU Extension office here in Beckman County is going to join me in the second segment, and we got lots of things to talk about: gardening, tree pruning, the seminars they got coming up, the Red River Conference coming up at Altus. Lots of things coming on. If you guys got any questions for Greg while he's here in the studio, you can text in at 580-225-9697, and we'll have that going on. First, let's get an update on the grains. The grains do not look very good at all today, the prices. March corn, 454 down 6. May, 467 down 6. Soybeans for January, 1236 down 13. March, 1242 down 13. Also, soybean meal for January, 368.20 down 40 cents. And March, soybean meal, 368.30 down $1.10. Since I started the show, this is the cheapest I've seen soybean meal at on the futures board. Soybean oil, January, 46.72 down 45. March, 47.42 down 21. Hard red winter wheat, March 615 down over 12. Same thing for May. Whoop, just changed. Now it's down more. Let me restart. March hard red winter wheat, 614 down over 13 now. May is 618 down 13. In July, 622 down a tad over 12. Cotton is actually up a little bit today. March is 8030 up 11. May is 8134 down 01. Then we got West Texas Intermediate crude oil, February 7036 down 345, and March is 7051 down 335. Natural gas, February 284 down 05. March is 253 down 08. And let's check on cattle's not looking too bad today. Live cattle for February, 171.07 up 50. 173.55 up 15. For April, June is 170.70 up 15. Feeder cattle, January 224.50 up $1.37. March 225.52 up 137. April 230.70 up 92. Lean hogs for February, they're starting to recover a little bit. 70.60 up 60 cents. April, 77.40 up $1.02. And May is 83.60 up 45. So there you go. The grain's just not looking too wayno today. How about that? Well, I guess you guys, if you're listening to the show Friday, I did it live from the Cattlemen's Congress, and I didn't mess it up, thank goodness. But anyway, if you guys get a chance, check the schedule out. You don't want to go up there when you the breed that you're after is not there, but check the schedule out. But last Friday, Saturday, and yesterday, it was wonderful. The National Angus Bull Sale, I got to watch some of that. And it was really good. They got some really good bulls up there. I seen Deer Valley from out east there was there. Of course, Express was there. Express won the pin of three on the bulls, which that's good because it's a home state Angus breeder there. And it's just, it's wonderful. There's all kinds of breeders there. And no, it's not, you're not, it's not a bunch of $100,000 bulls up there. So don't think that when you're going up there. Yes, there was a few $100,000 bulls there in the sale, but they come down and you know, some of them were under five. A lot of them was between five and 10,000, but your bull's your main deal. But just to go up there and watch this show, those guys at the Cattlemen's Congress are doing a great job. As soon as that new arena gets built, it's going to the show's there to stay. How's that? I had Bray on here. Anyway, it was great. I had the privilege of having Michael Kelsey, speaking of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. I had Michael Kelsey, executive vice president of the OCA there. He came on the show on the first part, and there's so much going on. So I was looking on social media, and I seen something that I hadn't, I missed. We talked a little bit about some of that stuff on the show, but here's what the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is doing for you. They've got, they worked over 200 bills in the state last year in the Oklahoma City that impacts members' beef business. Over $555,000 committed in 2023 to the Lasting Legacy Campaign. Statewide award for inaugural Oklahoma's Best Beef Premier new event, and over 1,200 consumers attended. In 2023, 10,000 plus ribeye steak sandwiches made. And here's the good part, and I hope it's because of my listeners, over 600 new members into the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association last year. So that's good news. How about that? So the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with the OCA members marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cattleman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. It's $100 a year, and you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month for an association that's working full-time to represent you and help protect your way of life. OKCattleman.org or call Lori at 580-273-5137. And then I had Mark McCauley, the CEO of the American Angus Association, was also on the show, and I got to talk to him a lot before and after he came on the show, because there's so much information out there for people in the Angus Association. But this deal that they're coming out with on testing on your genomics, on your EPD testing for the bovine heart respiratory disease, keeping it out of your herd or not bringing it into your herd, is pretty cool. So what that lady was telling me, Kelly, I don't remember her last name, I'm sorry, that works for the Angus Association, she's telling me what they do. So if you do your genomics test for heifers that you're keeping in that tray, comes up in there, you can go ahead and move them onto the feedlot or the sale barn and not have them in your herd. So that thing, the that heart respiratory deal is becoming more and more all the time. So that's a cool thing to learn about all that stuff. And anyway, just you guys got to go up there. If you can't go up there this year, plan on it next year. The Cattlemen's Congress is here to stay, and I'm glad. I hope I don't put my foot in the mouth here. I'm kind of glad it's keeping it away from the state northwest of us here. How's that? I'll be nice about it today. So anyway, we got lots to cover on today. Let's see. Also, anybody, I know some people are waiting till the last minute to get your square bales of hay. We got winter coming in, and I tell you what, that front moving in this weekend is going to be cold, but I've got to check on the next cold front moving in the following weekend around the 23rd or 24th, and negative numbers are going to be our highs during some of those days. So what they're predicting right now, and that ain't wind chill, that's normal temperature. But anyway, up around Mutual, Oklahoma, I seen on Facebook last night, there's a gentleman up there named Tim Bates. He's got some horse quality alfalfa square bales, the little ones, the babies, $13 a bale. That's a great price. My cousin from New Mexico said they're paying $37 a bale for small bales of alfalfa out there in New Mexico. These will come in 21 bundles of 21. And he's not sure, he might have all the Bermuda grass square bales sold, but you'll just have to ask him if you call him. So if you want to get a hold of some square bales in 21, you got to buy a bundle, not two or three. You have to buy a bundle of 21, 580-216-4506, 216-4506, or go on my Facebook page. I shared it last night, and you can see his post on there for some horse quality alfalfa square bales, because we might need some out there. Anyway, appreciate him posting that on Facebook last night. And that is your Tradio Hay Tip of the Week. Not Tradio, Hay-Dio. We got the Hay-Dio doing anyway. Well, Greg's in the studio. We're going to go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll talk to Greg about what's going on. And I got a few questions to ask him, because it looks like the new county fair barn over at Sarah got a makeover a little bit. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 15th. 898 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 310 brought 300. 4 at 471 brought 255. 7 at 588 brought 237. 12 at 597 brought 231.30. 3 at 628 brought 236. 11 at 639 brought 206. 4 at 664 brought 221. 4 head of heifers at 454 brought 238, 9 at 481 brought 230, 3 at 579 brought 215, 12 at 663 brought 233, 5 at 664 brought 210, 4 at 696 brought 193, butcher cows were 40 to 116, butcher bulls brought 22 to 120, bred cows were 850 to 2650, paired brought 1500 to 2600, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for, and if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that, but a young couple, You need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in 4 different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle, with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. All right, Miami, Texas. The wind, north wind hadn't got there right now, but it's getting there. 45 degrees, wind chills 38, humidity's 47. Dew point is 26. The winds are still out of southwest at 16 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, I guess when that front moved through, is 45 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.06 inches of rain. No red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature. It's warmed up about 2 degrees since the other day. It must be from the rain. 42 degrees. And that is your ag update for out in Texas Panhandle. All right. Also coming up, I'll get with that later. I forgot what I was going to say about that deal. But anyway, we'll get it. Greg Hartman, OSU Extension Educator for Beckham County, is in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
Oh, no. We always like to have our educators, whether OSU or Texas AgriLife Extension, in here. It's great because you guys got all kinds of great information, and we get to talk, maybe get some people ready. I know it's going to be like zero tomorrow, but anyway, we get ready for these gardens. But I see on Facebook and people ask me all the time, what is the best time to prune trees right now?
Okay, that's an excellent question. I get that quite a bit. But I probably want to start off by saying, before I tell you when the best time is that pruning is an enhanced beauty of your landscape. You know, it's there to remove things that don't need to be there. And there's a lot of difference between pruning and dehorning. We dehorn cattle, but we prune trees.
Right.
And what I mean by that is you don't want to go ahead and just prune everything off there. You should never prune more than a third of any of the trees or landscape plants that you might have, ornamentals, in a year. You need to leave those on there. Especially the younger the plant is or the tree is, probably the less that needs to be taken off, because they use that wood stalk and those leaves for energy to kind of build up before they go into dormancy. So there's always that fact there. And the pruning essentially improves the plant's health, the landscape, and the effect that it has, the aesthetic view that it has. So those are some things that a person really needs to think about. When you think about when is the best time to do that, I get that call a lot. Normally in October, November, I'll have a lot of those calls, and I'll just tell them, you know, Mother Nature has a way of pruning our trees
naturally.
Yeah. So let them do that first. Let those limbs that maybe are not as viable, the tree will kick those off, or let those die, or the leaves will go off, so you can easily cut those out. And then, as you mentioned already today, we're fixing to have some weather come in here the next couple of weeks. Well, there's a chance in Western Oklahoma that we could have a little bit of ice along with that, and that ice could do some natural pruning itself. So
right. Yep.
You always want to be careful of that. You don't want to prune ahead of some of those things. So This is not concrete, but this guy's going to give you some parameters. You normally, as we start getting into late winter, early spring, that's probably the optimum time. I'm not saying you can't prune other times of the year, but certainly you think of late January, mid-February into all late February, 1st of March, those are great times. Now, if you wait too late, then, you know, the sap gets to run through the trees, and you'll have some bleeding from some of those wounds that you have. But that's probably an optimum time, especially for small trees, before they get a lot of foliage. They've used all their energy to put new foliage on, and if you just go ahead and cut that off, then you cut some of their energy out, all the expense that you've gone through there and all the things that they've done to try to survive through the winter in Western Oklahoma. They've put those all out there to try to increase photosynthesis, their energy. That's how they get their energy, from the sunshine. And so if you cut those all off, then you cut part of their hard work off. So probably if you had to nail me down, I would say you want to prune before you get a whole lot of bud breaks and before you get lots of leaves up there. Certainly before we break dormancy might be even be a more optimum time to get that those branches cut off, you know. And so and also I'd say, people ask me, why do we prune? Why do you prune a plant? Well, the one of them is to maintain and improve the health of that plant. There's a lot of times you'll see limbs, they'll be crossed, they'll be rubbing against each other. You'll see some other dead limbs there. It also helps improve the flowering and the fruiting of your plants, especially if you're into ornamentals or you're into fruit trees. That will help make those branches, the crotch of those branches, much stronger. Remove dead and diseased or broken wood. We've talked about that already. Control the natural shape and size of your tree. You know, there's nothing prettier than a tree that's been kind of shaped up. And so that's one reason. The biggest one I tell people is about safety. A lot of people have trees that maybe have branches over their house, over a barn, or they park underneath those. Nothing would be more detrimental than for that branch to fall on their house for some reason and cause more damage in itself. Visibility. You know, lots of times if you don't have a well-pruned tree or shrub or a hedge there, you can't see in, or maybe people don't want people to see in where they live. Also provides extra sun exposure, air circulation. A lot of times people in Western Oklahoma, they'd like to have a beautiful tree and a beautiful yard. Well, that's hard if you have a great big canopy that you haven't opened up and let the sun shine in to the ground to have grass underneath that. And then it restores some balance, some symmetry to the landscape that you've got there, and kind of rejuvenates the dioecious shrubbery to make them, cut them back a little bit, and they'll come back a little fuller, a little stronger, and be a little more beautiful. So there's more reasons than just to cut a branch off when you think about pruning. And pruning is an art, just like anything that you do. The more you do of it, the better you are. I really like to, when I prune our trees, I like to go and prune a few branches at a time, maybe wait a day and look at it and see where I've missed, and just kind of prune as I go along, and not just all at one time just go and cut a bunch of stuff out. So those are some things that a guy needs to think about.
So how close to the main trunk do you prune your trees to?
I like to leave at least an inch or two. That way it gives that tree a little bit of more area to callus over, to kind of heal itself. And that kind of leads me into another subject I hadn't thought about. I get a lot of questions about these tree rubs or these tree sealants that they put on trees. Is that something I need to do? Well, I don't have any research-based information that says that's profitable. I have more research that says that could be detrimental, because that new wound is going to be trying to heal over. It's going to be trying to heal. And so anything that's on there, it's going to bring that into the plant. And sometimes oil-based or tar-based wound dressing, that could pull into the tree and make some detrimental problems with the tree. So I like to let our trees just heal over or callus over by themselves. And normally, like on our lacebark elm trees, you know, they'll normally callus over in about a year or 13 or 14 months, and you'll never even see where even had the wound there at all. So the smaller the wound, the quicker it'll callus over and heal up.
Let's see, like, I've always loved pine trees, and we put some at the golf course at Sayre last year, and that the Great Plains Bank gave us, and but I went in there and they weren't touching the ground, but they were only 6 foot tall. Went in there and cut the bottom 2 foot of it, about a third of it, to get it, and it helped. It's a pine tree, it's a whole different beast, but it helped them start growing upwards, you know. And then plus those lower branches on the pine tree were shading the grass and the stuff, and plus now it's letting water, rainwater, get in there to that tree. Because if you got a pine tree or a cedar, and cedars are worse than pines, go out there and if your limbs are down on the ground, go out there with a shovel and dig underneath there and see how much the moisture is compared to the outside of it. So it lets more moisture in there.
And with that too, also, those limbs are very close to the ground. Any diseases that we have could splash back up on those trees, and so that could be cause some detriment. But that's talking about the balance and symmetry that we talked about a while ago.
Right.
Now, all that pruning I'm talking about are on more mature, established trees. Trees that we've planted, like we've got a couple of bur oaks and Kettle Sugar Maple we planted last fall, and I'm not going to do any pruning on them for probably 2 years.
Right.
I'll train them after they get established, so I'm not going to cause any problems with them, or I'm going to let them kind of be in that juvenile awkward stage for a while, and then I'll start training on them and limbing them up and making sure that they grow straight and things like that. And so that we can make those look really good trees. But I'm not going to hurt them. I want them to be well established before I start pruning on them.
Do you recommend anybody transplanting Chinese elms in their yard?
No, I don't recommend that.
Man, I got so many of them scattered out there around the place. It's just like, man.
Yeah, be careful with what you bring in, because some of them can be very evasive, and you'll, after a couple of years, you'll go, man, why did I even plant that thing here? Because that thing is more work than, it's more trouble than anything. So
yeah, and then you got the elm bug that comes in, and them little yellow pieces of crap, they just annoy me. But you know, I'm lucky at there at Bruce's, we got 4 American elms, and them are the most beautiful trees we got on the place. American elms, I mean, they grow up and they got big trunks on them and big branches on them, and they're just so pretty to look at. But I don't know how old these trees are. I know Chinese elms grow like crazy, but I don't think the American elm does.
They doesn't. And you know, they were kind of one of those trees that they put in a lot of the shelter belts. And
right.
From some environmental pressures we've had, and also chemicals that have been used, we've hurt probably a lot of the elm trees. That we've got a tree row or shelter belts around our house there, and the Bodark posts are about the only thing that's trees that are only thing left in there. All the elms have gone away from environmental pressure. We have a lot of elm beetles come through, and I get a lot of calls about that too, but that's another subject in itself about elm beetles.
Well, let's go ahead and take an OCA break, and when I come back, I'll have you ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma, and I'll check the map, see how far that northern's made it. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
If you need something and you could buy it now cheaper than later, it makes sense to buy it now. Lyle's giving you the opportunity to do the sensible thing. If you need ag tires, they're on sale until January 15th in Blair. Blair Tire and Feed's having a sale on all in-stock ag tires, including Firestone. The whole crew appreciates your business this year, and they're looking forward to helping you next year. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19. Pay less right now for all in-stock ag tires. This deal's good till January 15th.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettsweldingcom. Again, that's everettsweldingcom. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I have Greg Hartman from the OSU Extension office here in Elk City, or in Sayre for Beckham County here. And we'll get to him, back to him here in just a minute. Here's your ag weather update for Slap Out. It's 46 degrees right now. Dew point's 41. Humidity's 83. The winds are out of the east, southeast at 4 miles an hour. Enjoy the calm right now. 10-day rain total, 0.42 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 36. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 5:41. Chance of rain today, 47. 50% chance that is. And the winds will start switching out of the west here in about an hour, according to this. Tonight, 50% chance of snow showers. Low of 20, north to northwest winds 30 to 36 miles an hour with gusts up to 60. Tomorrow, breezy, high 38, northwest winds 17 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 to 45. And I was just looking at the wind speed arrows, and up at Eva in the Panhandle of Oklahoma, 41 mile an hour sustained wind with gusts over 51 miles an hour. Get ready, she's coming. Enjoy what you got going on right now. All right, we got also up tomorrow, I will have some special guests on the show from Beckham County, from some of the local fire departments. Tomorrow, you guys be sure to go vote in Beckham County to re-up the county sales tax for all the fire departments. It's 0.1%. Please go out and vote and support it, and we'll have fire chiefs in here tomorrow to talk about it. How about that? That'll be fun. Anyway, Greg Hartman, thanks again for coming in on the show. Hey, we had a good time Saturday.
Oh, it was awesome out there. I think we had 296 entries or animals there, swine there that showed, and the young lady we had come, Gentry Squires, she's originally from Kingfisher. She was on one of the national champion judging teams they had there this year in 23. So she did a good job. We really enjoy her coming out, and I think she very good with the kids. She tried to talk to every kid, whether they won or whether they didn't, tell them maybe some things that maybe they could work on and kind of evaluate their livestock where they'd kind of know. And everybody felt like that they had a good justification for being there in warm weather, nice weather. And the Elk City facility is so nice, and the Elk City Chamber of Commerce is so good to us to let us be able to use that and keep it clean. And We just don't know how well we do have it out here.
Oh, that's a great spot for a hog show. There's plenty of seating going around, getting in and out of the arena, the show ring and everything. I keep calling it the arena. I was calling it that the other day, and I thought, it's a dang show ring. But anyway, they've got a good sound system in there, and the facilities are good. It just, Elk City's got it going on out there.
Lots of area to park and pull trailers in and not worry about getting run into or anything.
And,
so
and then Sarah 4-H and FFA did a good job with the concession stand.
Really
they had homemade baked goods there. It was good. Let's see, who again won from Altus?
Destiny Danner from Altus with the crossbred bear that she won 3 weeks before, and I think that bear, she told me that bear had won a couple other times. And then the Johnson boy from over at Jared Johnson.
Yep.
He was reserve grand like he was three weeks ago. And so both of those judges we had were pretty much on point. So.
Yeah. Well, she, Gentry, did a really good job. I think she was caught off guard that I knew where Butler Community College was in El Dorado, Kansas, because she was on the national champion judging team there.
And then,
and then she went to OSU and was on the national. A matter of fact, all your judges are that you got
affiliated with that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. They know their stuff.
Yes. Hopefully.
Yeah. They know their stuff. Well, I know with the winter weather, blizzards, and all that good stuff coming in, nobody's thinking about their garden. But I bet there's some people thinking about
it. They need to be, because it will not be long. And just like you hear some of those songs, it won't be like this for long. We'll have some cold weather. We'll have some snow. We'll have some ice. But pretty soon it'll all go away and it'll be time to get your gardens in. So it's not too early to be thinking about that, about maybe selection and preparation of your garden. During the break, we talked about the preparation, how important that is, about where you select to put your garden at. Hopefully, if you've had tomatoes in one area, you move them to the next area and don't plant them in the back in the same place every time.
Why is that on tomatoes?
They've got so many soil-borne diseases that other plants, because they're not related to some of their other plants, that if you break that cycle up, then you won't have as many problems with soil-borne diseases that tomatoes have. And then there are so many variances as far as making sure that you have a lot of resistance to diseases, fusilium, sertilium wilt, root rot, nematodes. Tomatoes are the greatest. I just love tomatoes. They're the greatest fruit, vegetable, whatever you call them, but they're the hardest to grow, in my opinion.
Oh, they are.
And so there's so many battles, things about them, and I've often told, and I'll tell people today, the most important day in tomato production is the day you buy the seed or you buy that seedling.
Right.
You're going to make sure that you have all the protection that you can, because there's so many things working against a tomato vine out there. So remember that about the first day that you buy them. That's the most important day. But
that was, well, because I was watching a YouTube video from Farmer Drew, and that's D-R-E if you want to look him up. He's becoming pretty famous on the YouTube channel on the gardening deal. And here's one thing that he said that caught my attention, and I never thought about it. He said, you need to treat that tomato plant like a baby. It needs attention every day. You don't go 2 weeks without feeding a baby. Why would you go 2 weeks without feeding a tomato plant? So every time he waters, whether it's once or twice a week, he feeds it a little bit. And their main thing is potassium, is what he says. And what he's saying, you need to spoon feed it. And he said, he said, I've learned a lot in the last 5 years on tomatoes, and he's got them inside and he's got them in high tunnels and stuff like that. But what he was saying, that he went from his first year, 13 pounds per tomato plant. He tracked all this, and he said he finally, a guy from Kansas City, because he's down in the southern part of Missouri, and a guy from Kansas City, a friend of his, told him about that spoon feeding those tomato plants. And he said, I went from 13 pounds my first year, and in 2023, he averaged 31 pounds per tomato plants. That's a lot of tomatoes.
And you got to think about a tomato. All it is a glorified weed that really produces a delicious fruit.
Yeah.
And if you go and put all the nutrients on it at one time, it's thinking it's going to live forever, and so it's just going to be vine growth, and it's not going to put on any fruit. So you have to spoon it along and feed it, because if you give it a whole bunch, it's going to think it's going to live forever. But just give it enough. That way it'll maintain it, and it will certainly produce more that way. One of the tips that I would give to people about gardening is if you've not done a soil sample in a couple of years, please do that, because you really don't know what kind of nutrients that you've got in your soil. There's no need to waste and fertilizer on a soil if you don't have a soil sample. So get that, and for $10, you can have a lot of peace of mind at knowing what your soil has in N, P, and K, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and what your pH is. Sometimes pH can throw off what plants will do or how well they can do. Apply those fertilizers in a recommended manner. You know, if 1 pound is good, 2 pounds will be better. That's not always true in gardening. So
No, it's not.
Be careful about that. Adding organic matter to your garden is always important, whether it's some yard waste you've had there or doing some composting. I would urge you that I had a call a couple of years ago that somebody had gone to a feed yard and they'd got a lot of manure and were going to work into their yard there. Lots of times manure could have maybe some chemicals in that from some of the hay or some of the other things. So be careful not just to go get some manure that you don't know a lot about and if they've got any problems with there. The worst story I've ever heard about tomatoes was a lady went and did a lot of composting, and she did a lot of putting down some type of hay to kind of mulch them, and she went and got some hay from that her husband had in the pile, and she called me back and it killed all of her tomatoes. Well, come find out the husband had sprayed with Gray Zone P+D and that had gone through the hay there, and so she just actually killed the tomatoes. So
I think that's a 2-year carryover on residue.
It is. So you need to be careful with that. So know where you're at. Use recommended varieties. There's some varieties that don't work as well out here. If you do have a lot of plants there, be sure and thin those out when they're smaller. Seems like you can get a lot better use with that and not as invasive to the plants. You know, we've got plenty of moisture right now, so we're set up for a good spring gardening season. So with that also, you're going to have weeds, and so make sure that you avoid any control in those weeds, and that will help reduce lots of problems with your plants if you keep those weeds out. Again, with the wet weather we've had, avoid excessive walking or working in those gardens, especially when they're wet, because that'll compact that, and they'll have you some problems there. As you mentioned a while ago, examine your garden daily. A lot of problems can be stopped if you see them. You know, a tomato worm, you give him a 12-hour jump, and he can really do lots of damage. So if you can look at those every day and go out there a couple times and
squash
check on those.
Bugs.
Yeah, a lot of things can happen quickly. So if you're there and working and kind of maintaining that garden, it's so important. Controlling insects, we talked about that. Rotating crop families, I talked about that earlier.
Yep.
And then this is something that people don't think about. Harvesting vegetables during the cooler hours of the day is also beneficial, because you pull some of those fruits off or vegetables off of a plant in the heat of the day, then that's going to leave them to ooze, and it's going to be a little more destructive to their plant structure and a little more shock to the plant. So if you can do that early morning, late evening, that's probably better.
With watering.
Yeah. So you don't want that plant to stay wet all day. So early morning watering is probably best for that. So those are just a few garden tips that a guy could think about that I think are going to be beneficial.
All right. Let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen Association happy hour break. And when we come back, we'll finish up with I got a good question for you when we come back. This is going to be awesome. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Beef. That's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, I just took a look at the Bezonet for wind speed and gust with arrows, and it's getting uglier up there in the Panhandle of Oklahoma. A lot of 50s are starting to show up. Yuck. Anyway, here we go. Eric, Oklahoma, I picked you for the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 50 degrees, feels like 44, dew point's 30, humidity's 47, the winds are out of the southwest at 17. It's showing no rain. I know you guys got rain, so something down there. And 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, and Eric's 40. Fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 1. Sunset at 5:43, 30% chance of slight chance of rain today, 51. Southwest winds 20 to 24 miles an hour. Guess what? Tonight, not so pretty. Windy, low of 25. Northwest winds 25 to 38 miles an hour, with wind gust up to 60 miles an hour. Tomorrow, breezy, northwest winds 17 to 32 miles an hour, with gusts up to 45 to 50 miles an hour tomorrow. So anyway, don't get your umbrella out tomorrow. So anyway, Greg Hartman from the OSU Extension Office here in Beckham County is in here, and I got a couple quick questions for you from the text line. They're interesting. So anyway, this gentleman wants to know what's the best trees for best shelter belts our best shelter belt tree, let me restate that, for the 21st century in western Oklahoma.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, the Osage Orange or Bodark tree, those are really, really good. They're tough, and they withstand a lot of pressure. I could probably tell you more what are not good shelter belts than I can what is. You know, I would not plant many elms. I wouldn't plant cottonwood. I wouldn't plant black locusts. Those are problematic trees that have issues. We've already seen that. And I would just plant a tree that is well-suited for western Oklahoma, maybe an Oklahoma-proven, something that's tough, something that doesn't take a lot of moisture, something that will take a lot of ice or wind, something that's hardy, that's proven to be out here and stayed out here for a long time.
Yep. And then another question for you, and no cedars if you got allergies.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, another question for you. I have a tree that has a split in the main trunk from a tornado. I put a ratchet strap around it. It grew good all summer, but it hasn't healed up. It looks, is its days numbered? And he said he thought about drilling a hole and putting a big bolt through it.
He could do both of those, but yeah, I would say the days are numbered because if that wound, depending on when it was, the wound hasn't healed back, it's just going to be an open place for moisture, disease, insects,
bugs,
and things like that. So I would say it's numbered, but you know, sometimes trees are a lot harder than you think, and maybe they're not as worse condition as what you think they are. So I wouldn't cut it down until the last moment, I think.
Yep. There you go. All right. We got a couple great conferences and seminars coming up starting next week at Clinton.
Next Wednesday, the 17th, we're going to have our Four County Beef Seminar over there at the Custer County Fairgrounds from 9 o'clock to noon, and we will serve a lunch. So if you'd like to come, you'll be free to go after lunch. We've got Daryl Peel, probably the most notarized livestock marketing specialist in the state of Oklahoma, certainly in the country. He goes all over and talks about the markets and the futures and what he thinks it might be. Marty New is our livestock specialist in southwest Oklahoma. He's going to talk about nutrition, cattle nutrition, especially with calving starting up here. Has already started for a lot of people.
Yep.
He'll talk about some nutrition levels for there and making sure with the grass as short as it is, what we need to do to kind of maintain those animals. And then Dr. Rosalind Biggs, our state veterinarian specialist, is going to come and talk about some talks about veterinarian recruitment. I know we've got a few things in the works right now, and I don't want to allude to those because I don't want people to say, well, this didn't happen. You said it was going to happen. So
yeah,
we're trying to do some more recruiting of veterinarians for rural Oklahoma. I know Elk City right now is really blessed by having some good veterinarians here. But, you take if you live at Slapout or you live at Leedy or you live at Texola, you've got to drive several miles to find a veterinarian. So we're looking at maybe seeing if maybe, I hate to use the word corporate, but trying to get some veterinary clinics to buy in and maybe have a veterinarian come to a rural area maybe once or twice
a week
and get a schedule there. And I think that's important when you talk about feed directives, especially a client-patient relationship with medications, that they've got to know you to be able to sign off that you get this medication. It's going to be so important. So she's going to talk more about that. She's talked about some of those at some of the seminars we've had before, but I think this is a really important topic because if we don't do something about it, it's kind of like if you do the same thing the same way over again and expect different results, that's just chaos. I mean, you've got to do something to make something different. And what we've done, I know there's lots of small animal veterinarians, but I'm mainly talking about large animal veterinarians to try to come out and help us and relieve the pressures of some of the veterinary clinics we have out here. So she'll be there. So, again, that's January the 17th. That's a Wednesday from 9 to noon at the Custer County Fairgrounds. And just please come, and we'll serve hamburgers and have a great day.
Yeah, and I'm Greg's gave me permission.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my show live from over there.
Uh-huh.
And because we got some Dr. Peel and the Dr.
Biggs.
Yes.
Be there, yeah.
Is going to be there. And even Marty, you know, I'll interview him. He's up the food chain a little bit.
He really is, yes.
And then, but anyway, they'll be there. We'll do that one. And then we're probably going to run out of time. So I'll talk about the
Red River
Conference coming up. It'll be the same day.
On the cotton, yeah. And then the next day will be other crops there at Altus.
Right. It's coming up. And that will be Texas A&M AgriLife Extension and OSU Extension there at the same time.
Yes.
So it's going to be pretty good.
great time. It always is.
Well, Mr. Greg Hartman, thanks again for coming in.
Always enjoyable to come over here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for you guys participating on the text line. I think there's probably some more texts out there in the whatever they call that. What do they call that? The
cloud.
The cloud, because there's all kinds of crazy stuff coming in here that I have no clue what's going on.
You know where to get hold of me. If they need a question, just call me there at the office.
Yeah, because you guys, you have a extension educator at Custer County now in Washita County.
Roger Mills County.
Roger Mills. Uh-huh. There's no reason.
Call somebody.
Yeah, there should be one in every county by now.
There is. There should be, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, all right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. You guys have a great day. Get things buttoned down for the win. It's coming. God bless.
From the biggest stars. They call me Mr.
KEZO, Elk City.
It won't happen overnight. Lisa Brady, Fox News. But Secretary of State.